This is Twit.
It's been quite a busy couple of weeks for those who happen to be following everything happening in Tesla and Elon Musk land. Every day, there seems to be a new story. It's kind of hard to keep up with it all. Some might say a new distraction. Joining us to pick it all apart is Sam Abou-El-Samid, Senior Research Analyst at Navigant Research and host of the Wheel Bearings podcast. Welcome back, Sam.
Hey, Jason. Great to be back again.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you back. I'm doing great. It's nice to see you on the stream here. So first, there's so many things that we can talk about here. Let's start with Elon's kind of string of distractions, it seems like. Obviously, there's the story of the Thai soccer team that was trapped in the cave just a few days ago. It was super hard to ignore that story. Everybody was following this closely. Elon wanted to get involved, and in the end, he actually flew a few submarines, if I'm not mistaken, out to help in the effort to save the kids that were trapped in the cave, but was a bit too late. That all happened prior to his involvement. Now a bunch of people are saying that he's more of an opportunist than an altruist. And I'm not sure where I stand on this. What do you think?
I think that, you know, the reality, such as it is probably somewhere in between the two. I think that Elon, you know, does have a good heart, you know, and mm-hmm. I think his heart's in the right place. You know, with all the stuff that he does, I think that he really he believes in the things he's doing, you know, whether it's going to Mars or building EVs or, you know, trying to get us off fossil fuels. I think in his heart, he believes all that stuff. He's really into it. At the same time, though, you know, I think that he's not actually very good at executing on a lot of this stuff. And, you know, because his businesses are struggling and they have been for a long time. I mean, they've never really been profitable. And right now, you know, with Tesla in particular, he's going into a period where, you know, they just came out of the second quarter where they did a mad rush in the last week of June to get 5,000 Model 3s completed. Doesn't mean they actually completely built 5,000 cars in the week, but they got 5,000 complete cars out during that final 7 days. And, you know, now he's committed to making the company, you know, having the company be profitable in the third and fourth quarters. And I think, you know, there was a lot of people skeptical about, you know, whether he can really do all this stuff. And he was starting to get a lot of criticism for that. So I think part of it is, you know, he's found a way to distract people, you know, because a lot of the success of Tesla in terms of, you know, on the money side, has been because people believe in Elon and his vision. It's not so much that they've actually executed all that well in the cars. I mean, they've done some stuff very good. They've proven the viability of electric cars, but you know, there's still a lot of problems with Tesla and the cars they build. And he really needs to, you know, a lot of the people that have invested in the company and put money into the company, if you look at the Tesla forums and look at what the fans say, it's really all about believing in Elon and his vision. And so, you know, by doing some of this stuff, you know, I think he feels like he can buff up that even if the company's maybe struggling a little bit, he can buff up the cult of personality around him, which is what helps to keep the companies going financially.
Oh, that's a really good point. And it's not like he hasn't achieved some of these things, right? Like there was the South Australian power grid thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's still an active process. It's not like that's dead in the water. His involvement is still active there. There was another power outage
stuff he was doing in Puerto Rico. There's been a number of projects, you know, with power projects. Again, you know, not making any money on any of that stuff yet. Or even close to it. And, you know, so they've struggled, you know, and they've scrambled to get some of that stuff going. And, you know, now the Boring Company, you know, this deal in Chicago to try to dig a tunnel from downtown Chicago out to O'Hare Airport, you know, claims he can do it for $1 billion. Pretty much nobody believes that he can do it for anywhere near that cost. In order to do all this stuff, he's got to keep raising money because they don't make enough money from the businesses to fund all the things that he wants to do. And the only way to, you know, to make any sense out of the people investing in the company is because they're investing in him and their belief in their faith in Elon, not so much the faith in the company itself. And so this is a way to buff up that image of Elon to help keep the money rolling in.
And then it kind of seems like it's tipping over the other side. You know, and another one that we just heard, I think, in the last couple of days is his dedication on Twitter to help Flint, the Detroit area, with their toxicity in the water problem, which is a huge deal. Obviously, yeah. You know, someone really, you know, people really want this to happen. It's kind of a, you know, potentially a very big humanitarian crisis as far as that's concerned. So why not Elon? But then there are a lot of
things. The thing is, you know, in Flint, the water crisis there, you know, is something that's been going on for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
This is not a new thing that has just popped up this weekend.
Right.
You know, if he really was interested, you know, it's like, why didn't he step up 2 years ago to help fund, you know, these repairs to the water system in Flint? You know, I mean, clearly, you know, the state of Michigan has handled the situation extremely badly. And, you know, it's the state that caused the problem in the first place. The current administration is what caused the problem. But, you know, he could have stepped up any time in the last couple of years. You know, the fact that he's doing it now, I think, is not coincidental.
Sure. It's a good timing as far as that's concerned. Now, critics include one of Tesla's biggest shareholders, who basically is saying that Elon needs to rein it in, needs to focus on the stuff that he has direct control over. Obviously, one of those things would be Model 3 production. We've heard in recent weeks that that's all over the place, that there have been a lot of hiccups. And actually, Bloomberg published a pretty deep dive on this this morning on the background behind Model 3 production. And some of it is very bleak. I'm not sure if you had a chance to read through that, but did any of that kind of line up with things that you had already heard as far as how Model 3 production is happening? And do you think these distractions are pulling Elon away from where he needs to be?
I think that's absolutely the case. I mean, you know, Elon Musk is the CEO of two major companies, and I guess he's CEO of Boring Company as well. And, you know, he's got all kinds of other side projects, you know, and particularly in the case of Tesla. Tesla is a public company. They have a responsibility to their shareholders. They also have a responsibility to their customers to deliver, you know, high quality products, reliable products. And, you know, as the CEO of the company, it's, you know, it's his responsibility to make sure that the company is executing. And, you know, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be involved in this other stuff. You know, I have no issue with, you know, people, you know, getting involved in various kinds of philanthropic projects, you know, that are going to help, you know, make society better. But, you know, if it's taking away from his job, you know, I think he does need to make a decision about, you know, what is he going to focus on? Is he going to focus on the company and making sure that the company can survive? Or is he going to focus on these other projects? You know, if he wants to focus on these other projects, he probably should step aside as CEO. And frankly, I think regardless of the other projects, I think he should probably step aside as CEO, because while I admire his vision, I think he's a terrible manager. And he's not actually very good at running companies. He's good at inspiring people, but not very good at running companies on a day-to-day basis. And it would probably be for the best if he did step aside as CEO and brought in, people that actually know how to run the company on a day-to-day basis and operate it successfully. So, you know, I think he needs to make some hard decisions in his life.
Wow, I didn't expect to hear you say that. Have you felt this for a while? Have you felt that Elon might need to kind of step aside? And I imagine kind of recent news solidifies that for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that for a long time, that I think that Elon is not a great manager. You know, I admire his vision, you know, and the fact that electric vehicles have come as far as they have, you know, in the last 10 years isn't due in large part to that vision, you know, and his efforts to get Tesla going, along with all the other people that have been part of that.
Yeah.
You know, similarly on the rocket side, you know, with SpaceX, with commercial spaceflight, you know, his efforts with SpaceX, you know, have really pushed that industry forward. So I totally admire what he's trying to do and his vision. But I think that in order to really succeed at that, you know, you have to, there's having a vision, and then you've got to be able to execute on that vision.
Sure.
In order to have a sustainable business over the long run. And I think that he needs to, you know, step aside from trying to do everything. You know, trying to be the one guy that can run the company, because, you know, when you've got an operation that size, one person cannot do everything. You have to delegate, and he's terrible at delegating. He will not give up control to anyone else, and he needs to do that.
Yeah, I hear there's this other guy that's possibly looking for a job, Travis Kalanick. Yeah, probably a bad idea. And then finally, we're also I also saw an article right before the show about the fact that the EV tax credit, the electric vehicle tax credit of $7,500, is about to go away. And that's always kind of been a huge, obviously, a huge incentive for people buying Tesla vehicles. How do you think that's going to affect the Model 3 and, you know, all of their other vehicle sales going forward?
Yeah. You know, when the tax credit program for EVs was set up about 10 years ago, they said, you know, the idea was to jumpstart the EV industry and get these vehicles into the marketplace and, you know, to incentivize people to buy them. So the federal tax credit had a cap for each manufacturer of 200,000 vehicles. And once you've sold 200,000 EVs, then it starts to phase out. And so apparently Tesla hit that 200,000 sales threshold in the US at the end of June. And so now starting in the fourth quarter of this year, anybody who buys a car after October 1st, for the next 6 months, that $7,500 drops to $3,750. And then from March 1st of next year, it drops again to $1,725. And then by October of next year, it's gone completely. So what that means, you know, for people buying Model S's and X's, you know, those cars start at $75,000, $80,000, go up to $140,000, $150,000. Those people probably aren't going to care all that much. I mean, if you can afford a $100,000 car, you know, the $7,500 tax credit is not as big a deal. Where it's going to hurt is all those people that were counting on buying a $35,000 Model 3, which so far they have not delivered one of those, not even a single one. You know, every Model 3 delivered has cost a minimum of about $47,000 so far. So people that were hoping to, you know, people that are mainstream customers, you know, the kind of people that buy Honda Accords and Toyota Camrys and Ford Fusions, we're hoping to maybe get into a Model 3 and get that $7,500 tax credit, you know, that brings it down into the mid $20,000 to upper $20,000 price range of one of those cars. They're not going to have that opportunity now. Yeah. Or at least if they don't get it before October, they won't have that opportunity. It'll be a significantly more expensive car. And I think that's going to hurt their sales.
Yeah, I think so too. But I suppose we've still got a little bit of a ramp up until that happens. So we'll probably talk about it when that does actually happen. Sam Abuelsamid, Navigant Research, obviously Wheel Bearings podcast, but NavigantResearch.com. Where do you want people to follow you online?
You can follow me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. You can find the stuff I write on Forbes. Just look for my name on Forbes. Just Google my name and you'll find me all over the place. I write on the Navigant Research blog. Dan Roth and I do the Wheel Bearings podcast more or less every week at wheelbearings.media. So just look for me and you'll find me somewhere.
Awesome. Sam, it's been great getting you on again. Thank you.
I'm glad to be here, Jason. We'll have a great day.
You too.